All right, welcome back to the Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus. The question for today is, what is heavy metal? What makes something heavy metal? And what is the difference between heavy metal and hard rock? We're going to be exploring all of this on this week's Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus, starting right now. You're listening to the Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus, changing rock history one podcast at a time. All right, everybody, welcome back to Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus. My name is Lou Lombardi, a.k.a. Ludini. Sitting with me tonight in the co-pilot's chair is the lovely and talented Miss Lily V6.
What's up?
And I usually say Miss Lily V6 of Rock Rage Radio, but we're both of Rock Rage Radio now, so we're real excited about that. We are live right now on the Rock Rage Radio Facebook Live page, so you can always join us there. If you don't know what Rock Rage Radio is, I'll just go ahead and tell you, go to rockrageradio.com and you can get more information on that about how to join in and all the fun. Go to LudiniRockAndRollCircus.com to check out more great podcasts. There is tons of bands, stuff that we're promoting, all kinds of cool stuff. I do several weekly shows. Go there, the ones you like, please share them around. Let the world know that you support great rock and roll, that you're serious about keeping rock alive. If you're really serious, you want to be a real rock and roller. I don't know, this isn't for everybody, but I highly encourage you, if you are serious, you really are serious about great rock, great guitar-driven music, check out lulombardimusic.com/innercircle. It's a private group of people that are really dedicated to music, and you get exclusive music, exclusive video and exclusive conversation. It's a cool place to get all kind of stuff. Just a bunch of other cool people in to make some cool friends. And you can find all about all that at lulombardimusic.com/innercircle. Oh, by the way, there's no fee for that. It's totally free. So you get a bunch of cool stuff for free. Hey, what's wrong with free, right?
I like the word free.
I know, me too. Free makes me happy. what is heavy metal? That's a topic for tonight. So we're going to be talking about that. We're going to be playing a couple of really great bands. Molasses Barge, which is Pittsburgh's premier doom band. I love doom. I love that. Just heavy. So speaking of heavy, I mean, these guys are... Doom is some of the heaviest music out there.
It even sounds heavy.
Yeah, but that's the whole thing with doom. That's the whole idea of it, is just how heavy can we make it. Sometimes slowing it down makes it heavier, right? The other band we're going to be playing is my good friend Abby, her band, Fist Fight in the Parking Lot. And we've had Abby on the show before. Abby is a wildly popular radio personality in Pittsburgh. She has her own show on The X. So those of you that are local to Pittsburgh, if you're in town, check her out. You know, call her up, give her a request or whatever. Tell her that the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus said hey. Okay, so metal. What makes something metal? What do you think? Where do you want to start? Do you want to start with the sound? Do you want to start with attitude? I mean, because there's sound, there's attitude, there's look, there's lyrics, there's
all the things.
There's all the things. So, where do you feel like you want?
We assuming everyone knows what heavy metal is?
Well, that's what we're gonna. That is what we're trying to find out. Okay. Exactly. What the hell is heavy metal? Do you want to give a sort of definition? How you want to do it?
Yeah, I kind
of
want to start with.
I really think that you should do that, Lily. Okay. I'm getting a word from the Lord.
Oh no.
Preach,
there we go.
Preach the word about the heavy metal.
It's probably a good thing Keith isn't on tonight.
I know he's our little.
You he pulls
know,
us he's, back.
He's our little.
He pulls us back.
He's our little altar boy. But he's not here right now. So
heavy metal, it's obviously a genre of music developed around the late '60s, early '70s. Kind of like a blues, psychedelic, acid rock background on that. Usually has massive sounds, tons of guitar solos that are extended, and how about all the wonderful subgenres that have come out of heavy metal? There's like dozens of them, but like glam and black and death and doom and groove and all the things. So, which we've done a whole podcast on.
We did do a podcast on the very, but we haven't
there's
really,
so many.
Yeah, we haven't really like talked about what actually is metal,
right.
What makes something metal.
Right.
So, what do you have on your notes there? What might be considered the very first heavy metal thing that ever happened?
Oh, so they say it's Deep Purple. I kind of disagree with that. I don't think they're very heavy metal. I think they're more on the hard rock side. But Black Sabbath, I think, is, in my opinion, and a lot of people's, is what started the heavy metal movement.
Well, there is a lot of debate about that.
Mm-hmm.
I recently did a podcast on the first heavy metal riff, and some people say that it's the Kinks.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I've read about that, too.
You really got me because of the distortion on the guitar, and that's the first time that it was used in a riff like that. There's some really great, to our friends in the UK, Carrie and Jim and some of the different people that I know from the UK, there is a great BBC series on the origins of heavy metal that it's very, 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 very detailed. And if you want to get really deep into that, you can Google that, or if you get the BBC, you guys can check it out. But it did come from Europe, and what's very interesting is the early heavy metal stuff is a kind of like taking the blues scale and the blues riffs and playing them kind of on the lower strings with the bass playing along with it to get that super heavy sound. Now, I know that Led Zeppelin always did this about heavy metal.
We're not heavy metal.
But they definitely belong in the pantheon. If you listen to songs like the Immigrant Song,
yes,
for instance, I mean, that is a complete.
It's got the extended guitar and it has all the things.
Yeah, I mean, lyrically.
Yeah.
So we're going to delve into all the aspects of it, because there's a lot of different aspects of metal that make something metal. I think, first of all, I think that we have to talk about is this sort of dark minor key kind of vibe. So that is, there aren't a whole lot of heavy metal songs that are like.
No, they're not. They're definitely not upbeat party songs by any stretch of the imagination. They're all dark, scary.
Now, what I want you to do, I just said that, and I know immediately people can say, oh, "What about like '80s metal? What about We're gonna talk. We're getting there. Calm down. Calm down. Young dudes out there, bear. Calm down, as they say in Pittsburgh.
Oh my.
So we're gonna talk about that in a few minutes here, but in general, so if you go back, hey Chris, what's up? If you go to the origins and really the progenitors of really when it really became heavy metal, ultimately it's Black Sabbath with Deep Purple and Led Zeppelin kind of as part of that as well. Black Sabbath, though, is probably the purest of the three.
I would have to say.
I mean, Deep Purple did.
They have their aspects.
Deep Purple did some more upbeat kind of tracks, too. But they also have a lot of stuff, and especially the way Ritchie Blackmore played the guitar, little less bluesy than what Jimmy Page did. It was really a post we did a couple of weeks ago. You know, it was basically, and I don't remember exactly how we worded it, but we got fans talking about Jimmy Page versus Ritchie Blackmore.
Mm-hmm.
And overwhelmingly, people were like, well, you know, I would take Page, but they both have interesting aspects, and if you analyze the playing, Richie's playing is much more based in what would become the sort of shred type playing. Like a lot of people don't realize is one of Yngwie's biggest influences is not Jimmy Page, it's Ritchie Blackmore.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, Yngwie was pissed that they hired Steve Morse instead of him. to take over in Deep Purple, because that was like his dream gig, was to play with Deep Purple, because they were such a huge influence on him. And if you listen to Richie's playing on some of the darker type stuff like Highway Star and things like that, I'm not so much the boogie woogie, because Richie can get real boogie woogie. You know, you hear something like Rat Bat Blue and Lazy and some of the songs, which are great tunes. Those are definitely more in the boogie rock, mm-hmm. which takes us more into the hard rock type thing. So we're getting into now a little bit of difference between hard rock and metal. But the band that is really the purest out of all of that, out of the three progenitors, is really Black Sabbath.
That's I mean, that would be my pick out of the three, because Led Zeppelin doesn't want to hear it. And I just don't feel Deep Purple is very heavy metal. I love them, but I just don't feel that they're...
You don't really think of them as...
No, I don't. I feel that they're more rock.
Well, you would be wrong, but...
I am
okay.
Never wrong.
Well, that's
right. Cute that you think that.
Oh, that's right. You have a vagina. You're never wrong. I forgot. You know, people with... Ooh. People with... Those vagina people are never wrong.
And
that's interesting about
that.
And
that's it for us tonight.
So we'll never be asked to do another podcast ever again. So... I figure we should talk like this now before I start bringing on, you know, high paid sponsors. But, you know, be that as it may. So every metal band really owes their ultimate depth of, you know, the gratitude to Black Sabbath. I think we can say that.
Yes, I'm agreeing with you on that.
So let's talk a little bit about the characteristics of... What's the first thing you think about?
Aggressive.
I think aggressive. Okay. Let's think, though, about more specific characteristics.
Okay.
So when you think of the sound, when you think of heavy... Somebody says heavy metal. What's the first... We know that it's aggressive music, but what's some of the sonic or what a characteristics jump out at you, right? What's one of the first ones?
Like the fast guitar playing.
The fast guitar playing. There's a lot of the extended shred thing kind of happened out of that. The first thing that comes to mind, I think, right away is the not just guitar riffs, because there were guitar riffs since there's been guitar. I mean, the whole Chuck Berry thing, Surf, all those things are guitar riffs.
Mm-hmm.
But what I think of is the distorted riffs with the amps cranked up really high
to 11.
Into overdrive, it cranked up to 11. In fact, somebody posted that. Who's James Horosky?
Oh, it's my uncle.
Okay. He posted on their post that he posted a little thank you, James. He chimed in. I says, you know, give us your definition of heavy metal. And all he did was post a picture of Nigel Tufnel's settings on his Marshall 11. And that's really what it is. I think the thing that jumps out if you hear something with that super heavy guitar, even if it isn't heavy metal, even if it's a Celine Dion song, you're thinking, oh, that she brought a little like heavy metal flavor into this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you wouldn't call that heavy metal, but you would call that as sort of what we got some things going on. So what's the audience saying?
So Chris Thunderwolf says fast and low key guitar, thumping and fast drums, and a deep growling voice. Yes.
What about a high screaming voice? Because there are like Rob Halford
yes.
and those guys can, you know, they can do that crazy stuff. So, you know, it isn't just low ground, but that is.
But that is definitely one thing.
Yeah. And that is. There are definitely vocalists that do that. Lemmy. Ronnie Dio's voice was more of a kind of a growling, kind of husky, kind of sound. Who else is on there today?
Mike? We have watching Brian Terry and Lars. We also have Mike Doherty. I can't pronounce it. I'm sorry. I'm bad at that. He just wants us to check out his band Alone and Waiting. Chris said no hawk tonight. And then we have Sandra Tonkins saying hello. And
hello, Sandra.
Ashley Smash.
Ashley Smash. All right.
Heck yeah.
One of Pittsburgh's metal gods right there, goddesses.
Oh my gosh. I love her.
We've got the thundering drums. We've got the screaming or even growling type vocals. So those are the cues. And it's a very crunchy type sound. I also think another thing that I think of when I think of heavy metal is I think very precise.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like whereas other types of rock, jazz, blues, you know, funk, soul, even hip hop and stuff like that, has a kind of looser kind of feel. Like if you listen to like what the Rolling Stones do, with a sort of kind of swanky, loose, kind of swaggery kind of thing, that's not what you hear in metal.
No,
metal is like tick tick. Like there's a
it's complex.
If Keith was here, we would probably get into a little deeper conversation about this. But there's an idea of, you know, here's the beat, and a lot of rock is slightly. If this is the beat, is slightly behind the beat. That's kind of the characteristics of more. That gives it what gives it that swagger. Aerosmith has that swagger. Mm. Songs like Black Dog by Led Zeppelin have that swagger. Lazy by Deep Purple has that swagger. That's why that's definitely more in the hard rock thing. But metal, if this is the beat, they are right on top of it. Boom, 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 boom. It is super tight. Everything is really uber locked in. Very often, guys are either playing the same riff together or they're harmonizing the riff together. But one of the characteristics of it musically is that it's really tight, really together. It's like a freaking metronome. One of the worst things that one of the worst heavy metal bands in the world would be a heavy metal band that can't play in time.
Yeah,
no playing around with the groove. It's got to be boom, boom, boom. You want to say something?
That makes me think of Slayer because there's so much going on, but it goes so smoothly and it's so complex. And I just if they screwed up, obviously you would know. But it's just the complexity
would
of
you?
It. I would.
Lily's down front with a notepad. Wait a minute, Carrie, you missed a lick there.
I would be.
It's $10 off your pay tonight.
Checking and all the things. we have Chadwick Hayes. There's so many genres of metal and certain sounds associated with each, but honestly, it's all in how you use it. And we have George Krensik watching as well.
All right,
he's
guys.
My cousin. I have all the family on tonight.
The family, the entire Lily family is. The lead role of the guitar in heavy metal often collides with the traditional frontman. That this is another thing that is really important and kind of. It was a big thing in rock. From the late 60s through the 80s and even into the 90s was the lead singer and the lead guitar player. They were kind of always co-fronting the band. That is not a thing anymore. You young folks, you millennials, you missed out on something that happened that was really, really like a big thing in rock. The guitar player was kind of always everybody knew. You always knew who the lead guitar player was. Everybody knew that Randy Rhoads was the guitar player for Ozzy. Like, it was just, that's just how it was. David Lee Roth, Eddie Van Halen, Jimmy Page, Robert Plant, Ian Gillan, Ritchie Blackmore. I mean, it was just like a thing. And it wasn't just a thing in metal. It was a thing like in all rock. The Edge and Bono. You know, it was just, it was a total thing. But in metal, it really takes an uber predominant role. And fans of metal, like, know the guitar, like, inside and out. They can hum along with every riff and everything because and sometimes it's maybe even more predominant than the vocals because some of the metal that's out there, the more growly type stuff, there really isn't like a, how do I want to put it? There's a vocal kind of groove going on, but it doesn't have the sort of like real kind of pop melodic hook.
Yeah.
So people are really, they're really latching onto the riffs. That's really, and the vocals are almost kind of like icing on the cake.
Yeah, or whenever it's that kind of singing. And
don't worry, it's a podcast. Right. Talking is, you know.
It's overrated. Yeah. I tend to push the vocals towards the back and listen to all of the other music because I just can't understand them anyway. So that's what I'm listening for is the guitar, drums, and the
thing. One of the things that I find, and you know, you guys can look this up, you can Google it, but you know, something I kind of disagree with a little bit is I find that in a lot of metal, and that the bass guitar is actually a little bit buried. It is not like if you would compare it to something like funk or disco or R&B, where the bass is way more prominent in the mix and the guitar plays a more supporting role. It is not, and I kind of think that there's a lot of metal records that where I'm straining to hear the bass guitar, and I kind of want to hear it more. And a really good example, Keith and I have talked about this many times, is the album And Justice for All, which Okay, right. Metallica, I know they went more hard rock on the Black Album, but And Justice for All is a legitimate metal album. It's totally metal. I mean, if that ain't metal, I'll quote David Allan Coe. If that ain't metal, you can kiss my ass. I mean, that's a total, that's like a picture of metal. But the bass in that, and in a lot of metal, the bass really, and I kind of think sometimes that is an element of them playing along with the guitar. So, and we want the guitar to be prominent, so there's a little bit of a fight there between who's going to have more prominence, in the mix. Metal drummers, though, are a kind of unique breed.
And why is that?
Well, I think that, first of all, especially, I think it has really evolved. And I think the progenitor of that really were guys like Ian Paice of Deep Purple and John Bonham of Led Zeppelin. Very powerful drumming, really driving the band. And as it got more complicated, you started to see more things like double bass drum, more complicated rhythms, the drums being a lot busier. And then if you've got something like a speed metal or thrash, you've got a drummer now that's really got to play balls out, and he's got to keep that locked in. Because remember what we said a little earlier about metal, it has to be precise. If it is not tick, 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 that rhythm is not together, it just sounds like a cluster. It just sounds like shit.
A mess.
Yeah, it turns into it turns like a big... we're not talking about it. We're going to get into a few. We're going to touch on a few subgenres, even though that's not the total focus. But there are subgenres like doom, and I'm going to pull up an interesting article about a band that released an album that the record label would not put out because they just thought it was too heavy. We'll talk about that. Really? Later, but I think you have something you want to share.
Chadwick Hayes, death metal revolves around brutal vocals, blazing guitar riffs, and unrelenting drums that are almost machine-like. The bass follows the guitars.
Yeah, right. And I think that Chadwick, I think that is, therein lies a sort of, not problem, I don't want to say problem, a characteristic of the bass kind of not being as prominent, because it is really locked in with the guitar, and fans, listeners, whoever, we really want to hear that crunchy guitar, because if we don't hear that really crunchy guitar, it ain't really metal.
It's not really metal.
You know what I mean? Then it becomes, do you guys know who... maybe you know who he is, and if you guys don't know who Jared Dines is, I should interview him. Jared Dines is a heavy metal comedian.
No, I don't know who
he is. He's absolutely fan-fucking-tastic, and you should go after the podcast, go to YouTube, and just follow, just subscribe to his channel. If you're, especially, the more hardcore metal fan you are, the funnier you're going to think that he is. I'm not quite as hardcore of a metal fan, like I don't know, like every bit of speed metal. I mean, but he really has it down. He's actually a really good musician as well. So that's what kind of gives what he does like a lot of cred, because he really knows what the music is. But he's a heavy metal comedian. But he's done some videos where, what does heavy metal sound like without distortion? And you should look at some of his videos. It's very interesting.
What's his name?
Jared Dines, D-I-N-E-S.
I'm gonna look him up later.
Yeah, no, check him out. Check him out. He's absolutely great. I need to get in contact with him. He would be a great interview to have on the show. But he has he did a video where he's like, okay, this is metal without distortion, and it almost sounds like, I was talking to a buddy of mine who's actually a surf musician, and I said, Timmy, you gotta check this out. And we both said the same thing. He says, it kind of sounds like surf. So it really loses a lot without that. The texture of that really comes into what makes it.
If you take something away, it's going to change it.
Yeah, it really does. There's an old story that's been going around in the business world for many years about a candy company who got a new CEO, and he was looking at ways to save money. So he said, well, can we take this ingredient out? And they took that ingredient out, and he's like, well, let's take this ingredient out. We said it didn't affect sales. And they before you know it, in a year, the company was going bankrupt because nobody's buying this candy. And it turned out that, like, yeah, when you took one thing up, but when you started taking all the things out,
you start losing it.
Yeah, it's not lost the same flavor. The people that loved that candy no longer liked it. So you get to a point of
Diluting it.
Yeah, you're diluting it too much. And I think that there are bands, and we could talk about this a little bit later, that are able to be really, really heavy without too much distortion. I think a band, I'm just going to throw this out there, and they're not metal, so please, don't, metal fans, don't yell at me. but this band is heavy, and that is Rage Against the Machine.
Yes.
Tom Morello is not like does not have the crunchiest guitar tone in the world, but the band sounds really heavy, mm-hmm. and it has to do with how they play. It has to do with the sound of the drums and stuff like that. Lily, I've been prattling on for 10 minutes.
For days. I'm going to read a couple more things on here. Chris Thunderwolf and Justice for All was more metal than black. Lars Gene Hoglan is the perfect metal drummer. I'm not sure if I remember.
Who's Gene Hoglan? Give us a reference, because we are morons. This is the Metal Moron Show. We're going to rename it. Metal Morons with Lily and Lou.
Chadwick, again, honestly, I think all musicians should fall in love with their craft. I'm a classic drummer that has branched out to a lot of different forms and styles to broaden my tools, but I love to converse with my fellow bandmates to add flavor to the songs.
Chadwick, you sound like a very astute young man.
Sound intelligent.
Too high class for this podcast.
Go away. No, I'm just kidding. And then we have a what's up from Jeremy Dyer.
What's up? What's up?
One of the things we didn't really touch on was the vocals and the lyrics yet.
We haven't gotten that for you. Let's talk about it.
All right.
Jump in, girl.
I'm jumping.
I'm a guitar player, so we start talking guitars. I go, I can...
Hold on. I need glasses so I can't read my notes. So I'm going to... Iron Maiden, I think...
Iron Maiden.
If you're from Pittsburgh, talk like
it's
that.
It's not Iron Maiden. Iron Maiden!
I don't talk like that.
Hey, Lily got me cool tickets to Iron Maiden show one time. And we was there and we were drinking some... What was we drinking?
Rolling Rock.
We were drinking Iron some City. Rolling Rock and some Cold Iron City. So I drank Cold Iron at the Iron Maiden concert. It was so good. They play like all their songs like Flight Icarus and all that.
Oh my God. I'm promoting Iron City. Iron City next
Iron,
weekend.
Iron.
Anyway, so I think that heavy metal over hard rock has more lyrical themes, more... like Iron Maiden, they do... I don't know what's the word I'm looking for. Like, it's telling a story. Sort of.
There are virtually... In fact, a lot of people would tell you... there's a great article, by the way, on... What's the page? On thetop10s.com. And one of the arguments of what the difference is between hard rock and heavy metal, there really is no hard rock, metal song, excuse me, no heavy metal songs about love.
No.
Like relationships, screwing, going out and partying.
Well, that's
what
hard rock is.
That's not really what, that's hard. I'm making a fist motion if you guys aren't watching live. sorry, I'm too excited here. in more ways than one. So one
thank
of the
you.
Things.
Wait, one thing. Chadwick, thank you. Operatic vocals. That's what I was looking for. Thank you.
And that is something that you don't really hear in hard rock either. Or really, that doesn't really work, right? Could you imagine Bruce Dickinson, you know, singing, you know, and you shook me all night long?
That'd be hysterical, like, though.
It would be hysterical, but. It
doesn't work.
And not taking anything away from Bruce. And he probably, if he had to sing that song, he has a pretty wide palate. He probably wouldn't sing it that way.
No.
You know.
Probably.
We played a clip a few weeks ago of him and Dick Rob Halford singing together, and he did sort of adjust his vocal tone for that.
Well,
so
that's
he is. He can do different stuff. But what I'm trying to say is, let's get, because I'm off on a tangent.
You're all over
lyrics.
The place.
Let's talk about the lyrics.
Yes.
Metal lyrics are usually about much darker themes. You know, themes of like war and destruction and stuff like that.
Satan.
They also deal, and this is where Led Zeppelin gets them, this is where Led Zeppelin sticks their proverbial foot in their mouth, is it is, they do a lot of stuff. You can sing about dwarves and elves and orcs and hobbits in metal. And it totally gets
little
over.
Little D&D going on here.
You know, you can do all that stuff. And Led Zeppelin did that wonderfully.
Yes.
They did that fantastically. So this is another reason where, and we could do another, here's what we should do. Here's a great podcast.
Ready?
The top 10 reasons why Led Zeppelin really is
was
heavy metal. Yeah. We could, that would be a good podcast.
I'm going to write that down.
That would be a fun podcast to do. Because we know we get people like all upset about that. You know, Robert Plant himself probably call me up and punch me
what
in the
face.
What
are you doing?
He's 70 years old, but he still whip my ass. But so that is, a huge difference, because whether you completely cue on, you completely cue in on the lyrics or not, you can at least know the titles. You know, so, you know, titles like Rain in Blood is not a song about, you know,
sex,
I mean,
drugs and rock and roll.
Well, it could be she's on her period and we couldn't do it, right?
I don't know.
You know, that's not what it's about.
I don't think it is.
You know, you don't think that's the theme of that album?
No.
You know?
Okay. I don't think that's where they were going with that. No, although it makes sense, because they could make a whole biblical story about a woman going nuts over that.
You fed Hall.
I sure did. I say a lot of things. But, I mean, that could make sense, though. You know, she went crazy. She's, you know, like, when I get mad, my whole body splits and I jump out. That could be a whole heavy metal thing, but, you know.
Okay, so when we get into this subject, there are people, and this is fun to talk about, because, see, nothing in life, guys, is, like, exactly black or white, correct? So, this is, so I'm going to bring up, I'm going to say.
You're going to talk about the gray area?
Let me get it out, and you can chime in. I'm gonna say two bands, AC/DC and Motorhead. Are AC/DC and Motorhead metal or hard rock?
I feel like AC/DC is hard rock and Motorhead is metal. I don't think AC/DC doesn't feel metal to me when I listen to it. It's more partying to me than I want to bite your face off. Kind of stuff.
Although they do things like Hell's Bells and stuff like that, which is,
I know, but it's the feel of it.
Okay,
more.
I'm just.
I know.
I'm just trying to get, because a lot of people, and I think that more of the discerning listeners like Lily and myself are recognizing that there is, that AC/DC is more, has their more their feet planted in rock and roll, groovy. I mean, I did a show a couple weeks ago where I played Back in Black and showed how the syncopation and stuff of the riff kind of automatically disqualifies them from heavy metal. But Motorhead, though, has a kind of punk influence as well.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Which is interesting, but they're not quite thrash.
No.
Because they don't do the quite super complex.
Oh, no, not at all.
Do you want to talk a little bit about Motorhead?
I mean, I don't know. Like, the playing, I don't know anything about, obviously, but I feel as a fan of
yeah.
music. It is more punky. The songs are brief. They're simple. However, they have more of a metal feel to me with the way he sings. And I don't know. I can't say themes, because I just feel like their songs really aren't metal themed. But I just feel like they're more on the metal side of it. And maybe they should have their own kind of genre, I guess, in metal. What are they even in? What did we, when we did our podcast on that, I don't even remember where we put them in.
Okay, I just did a quick search. Top 10 Motorhead songs.
Okay.
Okay. Killed by Death. That sounds pretty
metal.
That
sounds metal, yes.
Hellraiser sounds pretty metal.
Yeah.
We Are the Road Crew, yeah. Born to Raise Hell. Okay, now we might be a little bit more.
We're moving to the hard rock.
Hard rock thing, Raising Hell. But sort of depends. Ace of Spades is Ace of Spades.
Ace of Spades.
I'm not really seeing any, like, you know, Come Over Baby and Give Me Some.
No. Not really.
Dancing on Your Grave, Eat the Rich.
Maybe because I feel like their songs are a little more simple, that I'm throwing them over on the hard rock side. But I think they're metal.
I mean, that is a sort of, I mean, they kind of have a biker kind of image and vibe and stuff like that. But I think that they're kind of unique in the heavy metal thing. So it's a sort of a question mark there. And this is where, you know, this is just how it is in life, guys. Rhythm in metal songs is empathetic with deliberate stresses. There's a wide variety of sonic effects available to metal drummers, enables a rhythmic pattern to take on a complexity within its elemental drive and insistency. In many heavy metal songs, the main groove is characterized by short two-note or three-note rhythmic figures, generally made up of eighth or sixteenth notes. These rhythmic figures are usually performed with a staccato attack created by using a palm muted technique on the rhythm guitar. And that is a kind of technical explanation of the sort of typical heavy metal riffing. Lily, you have something?
Oh, I just would like to point out that everybody's on my side. Lily is right. I'm with Lily.
about
about Motorhead.
About Motorhead. Yeah, I'm not disagreeing.
I just like reading it.
But were you saying that Motorhead is metal or is not?
I'm saying it is metal.
It is metal. I think like I said, it's why I read the song titles, and I think for the most part, I think we really are looking at metal in terms of that. But they're a little unique in the way they approach it, because they do have that sort of rough and ready kind of punk rock kind of like approach to it. I think that makes them stand out a little bit. It's a little bit different. Hey, Christine.
Christine's watching.
Good to see you, Christine. So,
what about the metal being? Wow, I can't think. This is awesome. Hard rock being more in like the pop culture, and metal not so much, because you don't hear as many metal songs on the radio as you would hard rock.
We're gonna continue that aspect. I want to talk about want to talk about how it affects the culture, and we want to talk about image and fashion, physical gestures. There's a whole bunch of stuff we've gone to, but we're gonna take a break now, and because we've been going for over half an hour.
We never do that.
I know, we're like really on tonight. So let's go ahead and check out. We have a couple bands I want to play tonight. This is a band from the Pittsburgh area called Molasses Barge. Doom. That's really kind of what these guys play, and I love doom. It's a slower type of metal, you know, more, you know, and we're gonna talk a little bit about that in a little bit here, but this is a track called Bone Chills.
Mm-hmm.
Molasses Barge from their self-titled release, Molasses Barge, Bone Chills in the Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circuit. We'll be right back. That, ladies and gentlemen, that is Molasses Barge. And you can go to molassesbarge.bandcamp.com and get the whole thing there. Now, wait a minute, Harry. Let me turn. I turned the wrong microphone on for Lily. Now Lily is ready to go. But yeah, go to molassesbarge.bandcamp.com. They've got several albums out. I saw them live. They played Fist Fight in the parking lot. The band we're gonna play next later at the end. They played their CD release, and it was crushed. They were crushingly heavy. Crushingly.
I like that word.
It was so heavy you were like exhausted after it. I mean, nothing against Fist Fight, but on a great show. Abby's a great singer. They kicked ass. But it was like, in terms of that heavy doom thing, they just crushed it. Now, I want to tell you guys an interesting story really quick. You guys can read about this on a website called Aesthetics for Birds. And this is an article by Jay Miller, What Makes Heavy Metal Heavy? And I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's a very long article here. This is kind of a legend. In the early 90s, a little-known three-piece band from San Jose, California named Sleep worked out a deal with London Records to produce their third album, Jerusalem, which included the rare luxury of maintaining... So they were able to maintain full creative control. They got a $75,000 advance. Now, they spent the advance on custom guitars, high-end amplifiers, and lots of marijuana. During the 2-month recording sessions, they recorded a single hour-long song. Filled with slow, churning guitars, monotonic chants, having something to do with a race of Weedians. Throughout the recording process, the song, which in various forms the band has played live for several years, evolved. It got longer, and in the words of the bassist, Matt Pike, it got weird. Okay, so I'm not going to tell you the whole story, but so they do this record. I'm going to kind of paraphrase the whole thing. So they do the thing. They turn it into the record label. The record label's like, we're not putting out this piece of shit. This sucks. and it didn't come out. So this is like mid-90s. But as things like this tend to happen, fans found out about it. And bootleg copies started showing up. And it started to receive like an underground
following.
Like an underground, people became fans of this.
Interesting.
And eventually, somebody, please go to the website to read all the...
It's a long story.
Yeah, it's a very long story. Please go to the website and go to aestheticsforbirds.com and read the whole story. But eventually, it did get released and sort of has become legend in the annals of heavy music. like super heavy, down-tuned guitars. They're very dense. Sound is thickened by monophonic texture created by doubling the bass line with the guitar riff, manipulated by different like recording studio tricks, multiple tracks layered over and over and over. And so this is, if you want a study in heavy, and I'm sure that this is available, you can find this online.
So you can find
online.
It anywhere.
In fact, there's a great... there's a video. You can find it on YouTube, and they ultimately ended up naming the song. The band calls the song "Dope Smoker," so
appropriate.
You can find that on YouTube. It's by Sleep. So check that out. It's a study in like, kind of like, how heavy can we get? What's the heaviest shit we can do? So
none more.
It's like none more heavy. So I just wanted to kind of throw that out there while we were talking about heavy now. Let's get into the sort of more social, cultural aspects of metal. So we've talked about the music, the lyrics, the bands, the style. But we haven't talked about the fashion, the culture the cultural impact on of metal on the society versus the impact of hard rock. So I think, Lily, I think you have some stuff you want to kind of share about this.
So hard rock's a little more better received in the pop culture world due to they will play the music videos. You will hear it on the radio. You will see it out in, for example, Forever 21, a junior kids, or not kids, but teenager store. You will find all of the hard rock logos on shirts and everything. Now, on the metal side, you don't really hear that on the radio. If you do, it's the same song over and over again. Don't see music videos very often. You don't see, unless you go to, you know, Hot Topic, you don't see the shirts for it, any of that. So as far as the pop culture of it goes, it's just not as received as hard rock. It's not, but it's not that it's not popular. It's just not as well
we're
going to
talk about that because hasn't there been a little flap about a certain Justin Bieber wearing heavy metal garb?
He doesn't even know what it is.
I know, but let's talk about that.
Right.
Because I think that whether you like the music or not, if you're a music fan at all, you are aware that there is this thing called heavy metal.
Right.
And I think what's so awesome about metal is it has been able to maintain this mystique. That it's a sort. This is the sort of dark corners of rock. These are still kind of considered fringe music in a way that I don't think rap can do, because of I'm not sure why exactly, and I don't that maybe that'd be a topic that we could discuss on another podcast or maybe after the show or something, because I don't want to stick my foot in my mouth, but I just don't see where there is going to be that kind of underground swell for something, you know, in the way that there is with metal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, punk has become mainstream. I mean, once Green Day came out,
right?
punk is selling arenas, you know. But metal is still kind of the purview of this kind of like spooky culture,
and especially here in the United States.
Yeah, it is probably a little more out there in Europe. Mm-hmm. I would imagine. I wish. With some of our international friends would chime in, I think. But you got to realize, I think it's like 2 o'clock in the morning over there.
I know a lot of my friends will travel to Europe to see them because they play more often.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah, you could play really big festivals over there. A friend of mine played in a band called Rhapsody of Fire. I don't know if any of you guys know that band. They're a power metal band. But he said when they played in the United States, they played clubs.
Mm-hmm.
When they played in Europe, they played like
arenas.
They played 50,000 seat festivals.
Yeah.
You know, like insane. Like, you know, he says it was crazy. There's this aspect of metal, and I think that's why you see, that's why I think that you see Lady Gaga with an Iron Maiden shirt on. Because there's a sort of effort to kind of like, well, how can I say that I'm underground and I'm kind of deep and I'm kind of mysterious. Oh, I'll wear a heavy metal shirt.
And there it is.
And then, you know,
and boom goes the dynamite.
So it has this sort of impact on the culture. Even people that don't even really know what heavy metal is will throw the word around. Like I said, when people hear something with a big fat crunchy guitar, you know, they think, they may not think the song per se is heavy metal, but they might think that that is a heavy metal guitar being played on a Cher tune or whatever.
What I've gotten a lot when I play my music, oh, you're listening to that goth shit. No, I'm not. But thanks.
Well, what is the heavy metal fashion? Come on, Lily.
Metal fashion. Oh, my goodness. The first thing that comes up. Actually, it's not that crazy. Heavy metal fashion. They do chains. They do a lot of black. It's I guess some of them do the makeup.
Leather.
Thing. Yeah, leather.
Studs.
I mean, stuff I wear. And then you got the hard rock wearing the jeans, this ripped up shirt.
Okay, right. But let's talk a little bit about the classic uniform of heavy metal. What?
Boots, leather pants, black chains, studs, spikes.
I mean, they kind of look like they're a little It's slightly different than punk, because the punks will do the chains and stuff too.
Oh yeah, for sure.
But what's the nuance there? Is it like the kind of like more like long hair as opposed to like short spiky type hair?
Oh my God! Well, some of them are bald, but I would say predominantly long hair over shorter hair.
Right, and you don't see the sort of mohawks and stuff.
And not more of a punk thing. Color, like yeah. None of the bright colors. It's always black. Sometimes they do the long beard thing going on. Like every time I see Anthrax, I think of you. Just saying.
Scott Ian.
But he's gray. It doesn't color his beard anymore.
He's completely gray. Scott, three words for. Here, Scott, three words for you. Just for men. I'm just saying. So there's a whole fashion thing. And when people kind of want to act that out, so the fashion is a huge part of it.
Mm-hmm.
It what's so interesting is with it being so anti-fashion in a way, and sort of the attitude of it, it does have its own uniform.
Right. And it's pretty popular, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. And another thing that we want to talk a little bit about, we'll talk a little wee bit about this, just kind of because this is just touching this, is, of course, the sort of physical gestures. And that is the sort of moshing, headbanging, of course. You have to headbang. And
stage diving.
And this guy. This guy right here. That's the sort of devil horns up with the first finger and the pinky, for those of you who are just listening and not watching. popularized primarily by Ronnie James Dio, I believe, was a sort of like, I'm sure the other people had done it. Now, before I get hate mail.
I think it's credited to him.
But it's pretty much, Gene Simmons. Of course, Gene Simmons claimed Gene Simmons invented everything.
Don't say it out loud.
He invented absolutely everything, so he gets money for everything. But no, I really believe that it's Ronnie James Dio. Attendees of this. I'm just kind of you guys. Okay, I'm not gonna bullshit. You can go to Wikipedia and
read find
this.
Everything.
Attendees of metal concerts don't dance in the usual sense. It's been argued that this is due to the music's largely male audience and extreme heterosexualist ideology. Two primary body movements used are headbanging and the arm thrust, and the sort of like fist pumping sort of.
That's
sort
what
of
I
thing.
Do. We had our own little mini mosh after you left at Slayer, so I was like running into everybody.
And there's a little bit of some moshing and stage diving that can happen, but that's sort of more out of the punk hardcore subculture. But it is seen in metal. I mean, at the Slayer show, there was a mosh pit for sure.
Well, even on stage, Napalm Death, the guy, the lead singer of that, sort of looks like he's moshing the air himself, which is kind of hysterical.
He's moshing himself. He moshed himself. Is that kind of like masturbation? Oh, thanks. I'll be here all week. Try the veal.
I hate you.
And
it is predominantly male because all the girlfriends are waiting. They got in right away at all the shows, and then the guys are all in line getting checked, and we're all standing there like a bunch of wives waiting for our boyfriends to come through.
Metal wives.
Because we're already through because there's like five of us to the 10,000 men.
Well, why do you think metal has outlasted so many other... I mean, guys, think about this. Like, so many other genres have come and gone. I mean, punk... I know there's still punk out there. There's still disco. I mean, Maroon 5 is kind of a disco band. I mean, there's always been danceable music, but disco as a subculture really isn't.
It's not really.
It's really not a thing. Punk has seemed to outlast, and I know people. Oh, rockabilly. It's micro, dude. Punk is like they have huge festivals. I mean, it's still a really big thing. Metal has a huge thing. So why do you think that is?
I think people are drawn to it. I think people are drawn to the dark and mysteriousness of it. And you know what? I can dance to it. I don't know if anyone else can, but I don't know. For myself, I just love to hear a little bit of scary death songs, singing music. And I enjoy the actual musicianship of it as well. So I don't know. That's for me personally. But I feel like people are drawn to it.
I think that you touched on something when you said the scary thing, because I think that there's an element of metal that appeals to people the same way dark movies,
okay,
dark books and stuff appeal to people.
It's interesting.
And we all have that shadow side. And I think that these are the fans of metal just kind of relate a little bit more to the shadow side and have found a sort of like, for all better, all intents and purposes, found a healthy way to embrace that, mm-hmm. to be with that, to be in that, not to get too philosophical about it or too esoteric about it. But I think that at the end of the, I think one of the bottom line is that that's really what draws people. They relate more to that side. They have that going on, and they find this is a healthy way to sort of like have an outlet for that, as opposed
to
going out and, you know, becoming a serial whatever.
Serial whatever.
Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you, and I'm going to ask the audience too, and you can address this. Is metal, there aren't a lot of black metal fans, and aren't a lot of black metal artists. Is metal racist?
I don't know how to answer that.
It's a legitimate
question.
I'm just asking. I'm just throwing it out there because race is still, I can't believe this, that in 2018, almost 2019, we're almost 20 years into the 21st century, and race is still a thing. It's disturbing me.
Maybe
but,
it's just not an interest.
But
quite honestly,
but the question is raised by people that it's racist. People have accused it of being racist, and Phil Anselmo and some different people have made some comments throughout their career that have given people the impression that, you know, some of the bands might have racist attitudes. I'm not accusing. I'm just saying that
right. These
things have happened and people have interpreted stuff that way, maybe misinterpreted. I'm not sure. I don't want to, like, I'm not pointing any kind of fingers, but I'm just asking the question because it does seem to be so. I mean, I went to Slayer and don't remember a lot of African American people being there.
When I went to Slayer in New York, there were a couple.
Okay.
There was like the grouping of, you know, African American people like all together, and they looked punk and they looked awesome and I loved it. But I don't think they're as interested in that type of music. You know what I mean? It's just, I think they're more into the rock. I've seen more African Americans at rock shows than I have metal shows.
Well, you
like
know, it would be. I'm
going
to. Here's
what
we're
not going to say.
What I'm
going to
do, I think, tomorrow or the next day is I'm going to put it on. I'm going to do a meme and ask, what do you guys think about that? To see, get some more fan feedback on that, because I'm very interested in saying, I just think that it just is.
Yeah.
I don't think it's like.
Just the way it is.
I don't think African American people are being like excluded intentionally from heavy metal or anything like that. I'm not sure, though. It's just, maybe it's just a cultural thing.
Could be.
And look, why do you like the music you like? For like a multiple.
Oh,
reasons.
God, yeah.
What you're exposed to or what you're told you shouldn't listen to by your parents, whatever, you know, your school, you know, whatever, you know. So there's a lot of different things. You know, it's maybe how you rebelled as a younger person and then you've like kind of found a sort of safe place within that, you know, as an adult, for whatever, it's just tons of reasons why you like what you like. So just culturally, it could be different.
Yeah.
For different fans, different music fans. So I just wanted to kind of put that out. Let's really.
I mean, that's a great point.
I mean, it's just something to kind of put out there.
Chris Thunderwolf, Seven Dust, and Sepultura, colored vocalists. Yeah.
Yeah.
True.
Mm-hmm. Seven Dust is a great band. But is Seven Dust metal?
Sepultura, yes. But
Sepultura, yeah. And there's tons of different kinds of metal. We could just really quickly, you know, there's
a thousand.
Yeah. Progressive, doom, speed metal,
new metal, black metal.
Black metal, thrash,
Christian metal.
Is Christian metal literally like Christian artists playing metal? Is that
I believe so.
It is, okay. So there's tons of subgenres.
It literally has the most subgenres of anything ever.
I think so. I mean, even a country.
There's a whole map.
Country and blues have a lot of subgenres too. You know, there's tons of, you know.
Yeah.
But I think metal really has it.
Oh God! You see all the charts. Like Google it.
Honestly, I would put this out there, that I think metal is single-handedly the most popular music genre in the entire world. That just is not mainstream.
Right.
Out of all the genres,
everybody
they're not mainstream.
Everybody loves something in at least one of the genres. Everybody.
Not only that, the fans come all the time. I mean, you go, like, I went to see Slayer, and there were a lot of older people, and there were younger people. There's like...
There was everybody.
Yeah, you get like a refreshing of the audience all the time. And there is new genres of metal kind of emerging that attract, you know, like djent is really popular amongst the younger. In fact, there's a whole thing with the older metalheads saying, you know, djent sucks.
Are we in that grouping, Lou?
You know what I mean? So, no, I think djent's fine. You know, it's totally cool. Whatever floats your boat, man. Hey, what's, you know, namaste. You know, you like what you like. I like what I like. It's all good. Live and let live. So there's even new math metal. I mean, there's even new sort of aspects of it that appeal to different generations of people from different walks of life, just still coming out. And I think that it's a testament to the enduringness, if that's a word, of guitar driven. There's something about that cranked up guitar in your face, screaming, pounding thing that people love and that people want to hear, not quite in the punk way, not in the kind of sort of like Neanderthal approach that punk, and it's not a knock against punk, that's a cool vibe. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things that makes punk cool, but in a sort of more musically sophisticated, slightly musically more sophisticated approach that you get from metal with a more precise type of approach.
Yeah.
And it's something that just appeals to people with that, and it just is what it is, and it is the darkness, it is the subculture. There is a culture within metal. You go to metal shows, you see the same people all the time. It's like the old days with the Grateful Dead.
Yeah,
you know, they'll get to, oh hey, you know, how you doing, oh my god, I saw you at the last, you know, whatever. And there's a whole subculture there, and that is a thing that people really freaking love. Because people are looking for something to belong to. They love having a community of like-minded people or people with similar passions they can kind of get together and hang out with. And metal shows are that kind of thing.
Exactly. And some of the nicest people ever at metal shows. They'll knock you down in a mosh pit and be like, okay, here, let me help you back up.
Well, yeah. yeah. And another sort of misconception, if we want to, and we're going to wrap up here in a couple of minutes, is that, you know, metal guys are like, you know, want to like beat you up.
No.
Actually, it was so funny. I went to Slayer. I'm like, these guys are kind of like nerds. They're like, they're, you know what I mean? They're just kind
for
of like,
sure.
They were kind of the nerds in college. You know, you guys remember the guys in high school that were kind of like, always could, we kind of get their ass kicked. And, you know, they had the kind of greasy hair and, you know, stuff like that. Probably like sci-fi. And so they kind of got that vibe at the Slayer show. You know, from people, you know what I mean? It's just like, these guys are just like, you know, this is kind of where they all sort of landed.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know, we're kind of all in this together. We're kind of a little awkward.
I'm going to put it this way, and I know I'm going to get shit for this later, but I am less scared to be at a metal show than a country show. Every time.
Well,
every time.
I will say this, because Kenny Chesney was in town around the same time as Slayer.
Oh, my God.
And I parked really far away at Slayer, so I walked almost the entire freaking parking lot. And there was nothing on that parking lot on the ground. It's Slayer. When I walked back to my car, nothing. You know, and then, of course, every year, everybody posts the pictures of the
Kenny Chesney with like, the mounds of garbage.
I'm just saying. We're just saying. All right, guys. Anything you want to add before we wrap up today, Miss Lily?
No, just listen to my show on Thursday, Hot Licks with Lily Six. I'm doing an interview with a band tomorrow. I'm not telling who it is yet. So it'll be a surprise.
Ooh, you got to tune in to find out.
And
see how it works.
And they'll be on Thursday at 6.
We are still not exactly sure when we're going to actually be on the actual roster for Rock Rage Radio, but you can still always find us here. You can always find us at LudiniRockAndRollCircus.com. So please check that out. If you like, please share the podcast around. I don't know. Is anybody... If you could share the video right now, that would be awesome.
That'd be great.
Let everybody know about Great Rock. If you're really serious and you're a real rock and roller and you really want to help promote, keep great guitar-driven rock alive, I highly recommend that you join my inner circle. That is LouLombardiMusic.com/innercircle. You get exclusive video, exclusive music and exclusive conversation, a lot of cool behind the scenes stuff. So that is where all that happens. You get access to my private Facebook group that nobody else can get into.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff that goes on there. So you want to check that out. But only if you really are serious about, like, let's keep this music going. That's what it's all about. And so you can do that there at LouLombardiMusic.com/innercircle. I want to thank my co-host tonight, Lily V6, all the fans that chimed in and kept it,
thanks, guys. It was
interesting,
fun.
Including Robin Hood.
Yeah, Robin Hood. Thank you.
Thank you, Robin Hood, for being here. Chris Thunderwolf Dodson.
Chadwick.
Christine Brizard. We appreciate you guys hanging out with us tonight. Ashley Smash and all the cool people that chimed
Don
in.
Don Howe, our new fan.
Don. Keith the Hawk Hawkins will be back with us next week.
He was watching a little bit.
Okay, cool. And hit that share button right now, guys. Share the video around. Just share it to your personal friends or whatever. If you love great guitar-driven rock, metal, stuff like that, chances are the people you're hanging out with on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, etc., are digging the same thing. So this is a great way to keep the music alive, and that's what it's really all about. We're going to wrap up tonight's show with one of Pittsburgh's premier hard rock acts. And it's Fist Fight in the Parking Lot. They put on a great show. Just a great bunch of, like, really good musicians. Great songs. So their latest album, Fist Fight in the Parking Lot, is called 714. And we're going to play the title track. We're going to get out of here. Thanks so much, guys, for hanging out. We're going to catch you next Tuesday night. And like I said, always check us out on LudiniRockAndRollCircus.com. And we'll catch you guys all next on the next Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.